Praise the Lord, everyone.
Amen.
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 It is an honor to be with you this morning. And everything that even before I share the excerpt that was said and done in prayer and in praise to God, as I was getting myself up this morning, the song came on my heart. You are great. You do miracles are so great. And I thought about the first part of the song that says, you deserve the glory and you deserve the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name.
Hallelujah.
And it's all because of what God did for us in giving us his triune offering in Christ. And when Apostle Todd first talked showed us the triune giving, there was a curiosity in my heart. And because I believe everything that we do, it's because God has done it first.
Amen.
We follow him, we imitate him, according to Ephesians 5. When it says be followers of God, it means to be imitators of God.
Amen.
And so God does it first and then we do it. We're made in his image and after his likeness. And so as I began to meditate on that, and I was talking to Elder Donna about it, we saw how he was the first fruit because he is the very first thing given in the earth. Even in the beginning, the Word made all things. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. He is God's best. He's the chiefest portion. He's the first in rank, time, and order. So God gave his first. Even as we give a first fruit, I remember God sharing with me about how the strength that we exert when we go on our day-to-day, the wisdom on our jobs comes from God. He is the very first of all things. He's whatever we do, it's because God gave his first fruit. When he breathed into man's nostrils the breath or spirit of life, that was the first fruit that caused man to become a living soul. And so in that, you also see he is the substance because he is everything that exists. It exists because of him. So all belongs to him as we learn that he is holy, sanctified, he's set apart. All things were, again, made by him and they're made for him. So even Jesus, when he came in his body, he says in Hebrews, Thou hast prepared me a body, and it had an intended purpose to be set apart. That's why he would tell Satan when Peter had shaken Jesus and said, not so, when Jesus declared that he would die. He understood that the substance, the body, his own body had a purpose. And so he would tell Peter, get behind me, and then dealt with Satan because he would not touch the substance of God. His own body was even substance that belonged to God and had a purpose for God.
My
And then I
goodness.
thought about the tithe and how, and I sweat. And I remember when me and Elder Donna were talking, I said, Lord, the only thing that I got stumped on was how is he the tithe? And then it came to me and I said to Elder Donna, I said, what did Apostle Todd tell us that the tithe meant? And all of a sudden, it was revealed that the tithe meaning God with man. And
Emmanuel.
there's only two times in the Bible where God was with every person on the earth. After sin came, there's only one time we record where after man commits the trespass of touching substance, that God, it's recorded that God is now with man. It was only when in Noah's day, after the flood, in Romans chapter 8, I'm sorry, excuse me, Genesis chapter 8, where it says that in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, that the mountains, the tops of the mountains were seen. And that's where we learn through apostles' teaching that God was showing himself to be with man. And
yes.
if you read Genesis 6, you see where God was not with all men. He said even in Genesis 6, his spirit would not always strive with man.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in verse 5 that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented God that he made man. It grieved him at his heart. He only saw one righteous person in the earth at that time, which was Noah. And so after God deals with those who he's not striving with by sending the flood, he shows himself now after the floods to be with man again. This was the first time. The second time that it's recorded that God is with all man, like he was with those eight, was when he sent his son Jesus. God in man, with all man.
Amen.
When Jesus came, he was the tithe.
Mm-hmm.
God with all men. And apostle and people of God, I thought about it this morning, and this is why when apostle was teaching last week in Revelation chapter 11 verse 13, I saw why he was going to get his tithe.
Right.
When it says there was a great earthquake and a tenth of the city fell, because this was a direct reflection of him being with man and him getting what belonged to him.
Yeah.
Because it again would be the only other time that God was with the whole earth. And so he required a tenth,
right?
Because God was with man.
Amen.
And this is in Christ, God was with man, with all men. And this was what God revealed to me in the excerpt.
My goodness. It's really, really powerful, evangelist. It really says a lot. It really does. And it was really well put for someone that didn't think he had it to say it like that. You certainly did.
Amen.
You see, when God gave, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And in giving him, he gave in a trying way where they called him Emmanuel, God with us. His name was revealing the tenth. By itself. And so when you see that, and we all know that Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren, he's the first. And obviously he is the substance of heaven. All of heaven, everything that God had, that God is, went into Christ when he planted that seed. And then Jesus said this in the book of John. He said this, I believe it's in John 12. He said, unless a grain of corn goes into the ground, it abideth alone. He was speaking of himself. But he said, but after, if it goes into the ground, it brings forth much fruit. It brings forth a harvest. So Jesus describes himself as a seed that the Father, we know, had sown, for God so loved the world that he gave. And so we see the triune giving by the Father. And like evangelist just said, we are called to be imitators of God. We are called to, we really, really are. And to imitate God here. And there's a purpose behind it that goes way beyond money. And I want everybody to hear this before I begin this message. It goes so far beyond money. This is how we are truly, truly, I mean, truly detached from the root. By this, by being an example of what God did, and then as we're sowing in the like manner of our substance, and we're giving of our substance in a triune way that God did, with the significance of the triune giving, then we will absolutely, God said, hey, I'm going to sow my son. And yes, that is a cure-all. But remember, he was sown. Jesus died. Remember this now. If you read the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus died so that we could hear. And if we believe that he is the word, then every part of his word is who he is. It's who he is. We're discussing the word of God. This is not outside of the word of who he is. This is a part of who he is. Even when we're discussing biblical finance, for the purpose, the sole purpose is elevating into that realm of absolute peace. Amen. Because we've been totally detached from the root of it all. Well, amen. Thank you, Evangelist. That was really, really good, man. That was really good. You can continue recording, Elder Allison. Okay. I know you like to split them up, but just let it flow. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, and we're going to keep it moving right now. But Evangelist, thanks again. That was awesome, man. And I'm glad we got it on tape, because I'm going to listen to that again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
Starting my broadcast here, sharing my screen. When you see my notes come up, just let me know. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
You see my notes? Amen. Okay, here we go.
Amen.
All right. Okay, today, all right, we're talking about the three are holy. We've been dealing with the subject of triune giving. There's a lot of question around this one, and I don't mind. I really don't. Everyone is free to really, really. I encourage everyone to really seek out the Rhema concerning this. I don't want anyone moving just because of the fact that's the way we're going per se as a ministry. But I want you to understand it. I want you to imbibe it and receive it as God wills and God opens you up to. Other than that, you be patient and you wait on the Lord to reveal. Because if you want to know, if you go on to know, you will know. He guarantees that. And so, but I want everyone under the Rhema word of God. And in order to do that, oftentimes we have to open our hearts and open up, really open up. We're under absolute grace, everyone. We are under grace. There's no question. But remember what grace really is. Grace is the divine influence upon our hearts, upon our minds. And then it becomes a reflection on our lives. So grace, from what I've learned, is the Rhema word. It has the divine influence of God. So it's not this space that we might feel that we just live in a free-for-all type society in the kingdom. No, but grace is governed by his Rhema. And that is what is producing the grace of God. It's the divine influence that comes from Rhema. And so just open your hearts, open your minds, and just imbibe, and the Lord will do the rest. I promise you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, praise God. All right, so today we're talking about substance, free will, and lump. They're all the same. Substance, free will, and lump. We've talked about the tithe. We've talked about, secondly, we talked about the first fruit. And now in the area of triune giving, we're talking about substance, free will, and lump. And so we note that all three of these are the same kind of offering. Substance means our strength, everyone. The definition denotes the area in which we live from. So substance is our strength. It's really what we consider our strength. And that's why God wants to be honored with it. It already reveals a separation from the other two forms of giving, tithes and first fruit. This offering is what's left after worshiping with the tithe and first fruit. Oftentimes, Christians, we consider after giving our tithing, or we tithe, or for the first fruit givers, we give our first fruits. And then over the years, we've turned to the substance or the free will or lump. We considered that our own. We considered it, okay, I've honored God with this. Now this is mine. This is what's left. And the Bible it never taught that. And I'm so grateful that this year it really opened my eyes to the truth about that. I'm Amen. Really grateful, because I was one of those Christians that I would honor God with my tithe and my first fruit. And then the substance, I mean, the majority of the substance or the, what was left was mine. And I had a mindset that it was mine. And it kind of put me in a strange place that I didn't even know about until the series on peace revealed it. Well, when we are in the place of honoring God, it's no longer ours, people. It's his. The math really is simple, really is. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 24 and 1, it says here, a Psalm of David, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So in essence, the substance, which unfortunately denotes our strength and oftentimes it isn't ours. Hence Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all of thine increase. And so it already belonged to him. The word fullness means all that is therein. Everything belongs to God. And I'm cool with that. I really am. I'm good with that. In fact, it takes the pressure off. It does bring me a disconnect from the root of evil, if you will, the regard for money or the love for money. I feel disconnected as I honor God with my lump. And I feel fully, fully at peace, knowing that God is glorified by how I honor him.
Amen.
This offering here, this finishes God having total preeminence over our finances. It finishes it. This third piece here, we call it the a three-folded cord. This third offering, when we honor God, when we release ourselves as owners from what's left and what we have, this really gives God preeminence. When we honor from our strength, it is the final blow to the root. It really frees us from the root of all evil, which is the love of regard for money, regarding it more than God. There's a respect, I believe, yeah, you should have for money, yeah, absolutely, but not more than God. God is the source, well above and beyond money. And so when we get that mindset, this becomes that final blow, and I love it. This is when Jesus lined up and said, Satan, what are you looking at me for? What are you trying to do? You have nothing in which to tempt me with. You have nothing. There's nothing in me which you can draw from. You have no root here in me. Jesus has never been entangled with money. He's never. But yet he knew that everything was already his. But he still somehow, the Lord of glory, stayed fully connected and committed to the Father, yes, even with all his resource. Yes. And that's the life, glory be to God, that's the life I want to live. To where no matter what the earth yields to me, my source is still my Father. And in order for me to do that, it's all involved with my worship, the way that I worship. See, Jesus said this, he partook, Evangelist Darrell, in sowing that seed. He said, no man took my life. I laid it down.
Yes, he did.
So he and the Father gave that seed. He gave himself. He said, no one took it. I laid it down. He stayed in the view and the vision of the Father. And he agreed with that vision. And he became that triune gift unto us. Praise God. Now,
amen.
If the first fruit isn't holy, this is going to be hard for some of you to swallow, but I have to teach it like this. I gotta do it the way that the Lord really showed me. It's a hard saying, but you just hear it out now. If the first fruit isn't holy, the lump isn't either. That's why in Proverbs 3:9 it does say, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. All right. So these two here, when we honor God with first fruit, and we honor the Lord, it causes the substance to become holy, confirmed over here in Romans 11:16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. All right? And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now, the word if is really powerful. It means conditional. There's a condition here. If my first fruit be holy, all right, then now the lump now is also holy. Now, you say, but this is talking about Christ, or it's talking about the Israelites. It's talking about the early church. No, this is a principle. It's not just speaking of the early church. This is a principle of all first fruit, of all first fruit. All right. So now if becomes conditional. If the first fruit is holy, then the lump is also holy. The word if also means unless the first fruit be holy. So it's signifying that if the first fruit isn't holy, if the first fruit isn't something sanctified, then the lump now is in a position where it's also not sanctified. It also means if so be that. All right. If so be that. That's that. So if it be so, if it's holy, then the lump will be holy as well. Say amen if you're understanding what I'm saying.
Amen.
All right. So now if the first fruit is holy, then the lump now is holy. In other words, that as I'm honoring with my first fruit, then the lump now becomes extreme. It becomes holy. It's holy, and where all holiness goes is unto the Lord. It's holy unto the Lord. That's where holy goes, unto the Lord. So if the first fruit goes unto the Lord, then the lump is accepted unto the Lord. So now, unless the first fruits is holy, honoring with the first fruit causes the lump now to be holy too. Just like Jesus was sown as a first fruit, and we become holy because of him. Well, our offering works the same way. It's a principle. If there's no honor with our first fruits, then the lump does not stand in true honor unto God. No, that's a hard saying, but there's truth behind it. There's a total truth behind it. He's winked at our ignorance, but it's time to awaken up out of our ignorance and really step into righteousness.
Amen.
By this, we will step into the full grace and glory of Christ our Lord. You see, that this money thing, man, it's this money thing, that's this substance thing that Satan has masterfully, really, man, put his hooks into. And there's areas, man, there's so many areas that we've fallen short. There's so many doors that we've allowed to be opened. There's so many things that really attach itself to how we worship God with our finances, and how we are free from regarding it above God. Our money is not our source. The money that we make is not the source in which we live by. And amen. There's unfortunately a massive, 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 man, massive cloud that has been blinding the eyes of the church. I really believe that. I really and truthfully do. I've been in this thing for a long time. I really have. The conferences, that all of the revivals and all of the things that people hold in church, my God, for the purpose of money, not for the purpose of soul renewal. It's not that. I'm trying to tell you, I've been in so many, I've sat on so many boards, I've done so many conferences, I used to get called in just to preach on finance so they could see finance really grow. In the middle of one financial conference, I stopped. I wouldn't go back the next day because I realized what they were doing. The Lord pulled me out of it. We're so money driven. It's ridiculous, as though it's been our source. And that's why the glory of God, the grace of God, is not at its maximum in the church, because we're so attached to money being the reason, or the money being the source of how we get things done. That's not the way this works. God is our source, hallelujah. Now, what happens here? What not honoring with the lump is compared to? Let me show you. We're going to look at a story here of Eli and his sons. Eli and his sons, Phinehas and Hophni. All right. And I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17 from the Message Bible. All right. And it says here, Eli's own sons were nothing but trouble. They didn't know God and could not have cared less about the customs of priests among the people. Ordinarily, when someone offered a sacrifice, the priest servant was supposed to come up and, while the meat was boiling, stab a three-pronged fork into the cooking pot. The priest then got whatever came up on the fork. But this is how Eli's sons treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh to offer sacrifices to God. Before they had even burned the fat to God, the priest servant would interrupt whoever was sacrificing and say, "Hand over some of that meat for the priest to roast. He doesn't like it boiled. He doesn't like boiled meat. He likes his rare." If the man objected, "First let the fat be burned, God's portion, then take all you want," the servant would demand, "No, I want it now. If you won't give it, I'll take it." It was a horrible sin these young servants were committing, and right in the presence of God, desecrating the holy offerings to God. When I was in my study, the Lord brought this story back to my remembrance. And I remember years ago teaching on this in a Sunday school class before I became a pastor. And I remember teaching on it. And the Lord, I haven't thought about this one in a very, long time. The Holy Spirit brings all things to your remembrance. It's really true. And so I thought about what they were doing, and what they were doing here, Phineas and Hophni. What they were doing was they would go in and take the meat prior to before it became tender. And the custom was that they could put a three-prong hook in. When it was tender, they had to bang the kettle or the pot. They had to bang it, and whatever remained on the hook, they could take. But whatever dropped belonged to the Lord. And so that was a custom that God had created. And the Lord was revealing, and he was talking to me yesterday, and he said, "This is what my people are doing to me." He said that when they don't honor me with their substance, with the lump, he said, what they're doing is he said, it becomes to where, like Phineas and Hophni did, to where they're taking the majority for themselves and they're not regarding me. They're taking it, and that's becoming how they live, and how Phineas and Hophni were very, very, they did this to all of Israel. So you know the provisions that they had, and Eli was their father, who was the priest at the time. And these two weren't even priests. They were just there because of their dad. And these guys were robbing and just taking and pillaging. And there's a price to pay that when we don't honor God with the lump. They were taking the lump. They were taking the substance. They weren't doing the custom of the sanctuary the way that they should have. And I thought deeper, and I started to really, really think about this. That these two weren't even priests, as I said. But the Bible declares that we are priests, all right? These two weren't even priests of the Lord. They were sons of the priest. The Bible says to us, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light," according to 1 Peter 2 and 9. We are considered the priesthood by God.
Amen.
And when we touch the substance and the lump, the Lord actually told me, he said, "I look at you as though Phineas and Hophni. That's what it's like unto me. They're coming in and taking what is not theirs." Now, I've given, and God has obviously put resources in our hands so that we can live by and to be well taken care of. Without question, but first things first, honor the Lord with thy substance.
Amen.
You don't take what belongs to God in worship. We don't take that. We honor the Lord with it. So now we're considered a royal priesthood. We outrank Eli's boys all day long. But when we aren't honoring God with our lump, how does he view us? his priest, that when we are not looking to him, God, as the source, what in the world? What in the world? We, the priest of God, everybody that names the names of Jesus has entered into this royal priesthood. And when the priesthood will not honor God and trust God, what in the world is the world going to do if we, the priesthood, are not doing what we should be doing with worship and in worship unto God? How is the world ever going to see us as different? We see here with Phineas and Hophni, we see a little bit more, right? The love of money is really the root of all evil. In 1 Samuel 2 and 22, it says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, the love of money, the love of substance, is the root of all evil. Now, watch this. They go from taking what wasn't theirs to now they're stretching. It's the evil in them and the sin in them is expanding. They now start sleeping with the women that are assembled at the tabernacle of the congregation. They went from taking substance to sleeping with women of the assembly. It's proof that the love of money opens the door for all evil. Our disconnect from esteeming money above God is paramount.
Wow. It's
absolutely paramount, people, because it does open doors. At first, they were threatening and taking money, taking substance, taking the offerings. They were doing that, but then it stretches into absolute adultery. And I mean desecration. You see, that's why God wants to be honored. It has nothing to do with God trying to brood over us. It has nothing to do with any of that. God understands how to really keep us disconnected from the root of all evil. I'm telling you right now, and I've said this through this series, that every evil work is connected to somebody loving substance. Somebody taking on strength that doesn't belong to them. Somebody withholding what belongs unto the Lord. It is the root of all evil. All right, now, but without honor, watch what happens. Look at this whole thing. Watch what goes down. It starts with them touching substance. Now, without honor, vision gets scarce. We continue on in the story here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says here, "And the child Samuel," now this is Eli's replacement. We all know Samuel was coming in as Eli's replacement. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." The word "open" means to break out, all right? They had no open vision for the mere fact that Eli's sons were touching what belonged unto the Lord. Vision gets scarce, people of God. I'm trying to tell you, you think, I'm going to say this, I even say this to myself, you think you're seeing God's best? You better think again. The glory of the Lord is not at the maximum that it should be. We think we're under this wonderful dimension of awesomeness of God. No, there's another level, people of God. There's another dimension to where the power of God is being released. Listen, until I see acts being reenacted in us, I'm not going to stop my press. Until I see the outbreak of the Holy Spirit moving the way that he really wants to move, I'm not gonna stop my quest. I'm gonna continue in this because there's another level. Now, Samuel was getting a word from the Lord, but the word of the Lord was very precious or rare in that time because of Eli not checking his sons. And they were touching what belonged unto God. So now there was no open vision. There was no breakout. There was no breakaway. There was no increase. That's what open means. There was no breakthrough. Think about it, people of God. Think about it. This is a long way away from what the book, I believe, of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 teaches. All grace should be abounding toward us. All grace. We should live in breakout. We should live in a breakaway. We should live in increase. We should live in the place of the breakthrough at all times.
Amen.
There was no open vision then. The word vision means sight or revelation, or to see by experience. There's very little experience there. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm in the body just like you. But I don't see the body living by experience the way that we should be. If you read it in Acts, that's where we belong and beyond.
It's so true.
Living it by experience. But I also understood and understand what they did in the book of Acts. I also understand that in the book of Acts, I'm going to say this and I'll reveal it to you in a moment. They lived under triune giving. They absolutely did. In fact, I'll scroll there and then I'll come back up. All right, Holy Spirit, let's do this. Let's go. They lived in triune giving. All right, watch this here. Three times a year at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, all of Israel was to appear before the Lord, but they were not to come empty-handed. This begs the question, what were they to bring? Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God. That's over in the book of Deuteronomy 14, 22, and 23. Now, the reason why I'm reading this here is because if you listen to about the three messages back, we talked about how Paul was still celebrating Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Well, to understand Pentecost, it folds over. All right. You have you have three different feasts, but one feast goes into the other. The last one to begin would be called the Feast of Weeks. Prior to the Feast of Weeks, they had the Feast of what we call, or what they called also, the Feast of First Fruits. Well, in the Feast of First Fruits, they were also bringing their tithes. They could not come empty handed. This was the place that they were worshiped. So there was, watch this now. So in the day, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they had all brought their tithe and their first fruits. All right. They all worshiped with that. Then we see later in the book of Acts around chapter 4, where they sell their possessions. They tap into substance giving, but they were already in the position of tithing and first fruit giving. Right at Pentecost, they've already worshiped with tithe and first fruit. After the Holy Spirit fell, now the Holy Spirit grafts them into substance giving in Acts chapter 4. But we don't see that cease, because Paul then goes on to tell us two times. Once he was in Ephesus, and he said, I'm going to remain here in Ephesus until Pentecost. So Paul was worshiping there with the believers there in tithing, first fruit, and free will giving. And then we see Paul said, listen, I'm going to leave Asia. I got to get out of Asia so I can get back, so I can celebrate. I want to get back before Pentecost. So this type of worship never ceased, people of God. They continued, and this is where the Lord, he opened it up to me tremendously to understand they were triune giving. I didn't even know like that. The word triune, he told me, there should be triune giving as we were getting into the series. I've never used this terminology prior to this series. And so the Lord has brought it full circle. And we have to understand that that's what they were doing. They were giving in a triune manner. They were honoring God prior to the outpour that we saw with Peter's shadow healing and all that good stuff going on. We see it now to where these people are already in position of absolute worship. They had no connection to the root of evil. They were free, praise God. They were absolutely free. If you're following me, just say amen.
Amen.
All right, so now I'm going to go back up and we're going to get back into the story here of Eli's sons, Phinehas and Hophni. All right? All right, so now, because of Eli's sons, all of Israel was suffering, all because they were stealing God's honor. There was no increase and no breakthrough. They were touching what was holy unto the Lord. And Rhema, which provides instruction and increase, was scarce. Open vision means Rhema. It's talking about having a revelation, getting revelation on what to do and how to do it. So in case you don't know, our house is full of Rhema. And the reason why we have such open vision is because we honor God. We've honored God in the manner that he's taught us over the years. And so we have been, everyone, my God, and I'm not being prideful. I'm not stuck up. And please trust me when I say this. But I honestly know, because I hear it from my colleagues. All of my colleagues say this: man, Harley, you, I'm coming in to preach, but man, I'm nervous. I'm like, why? They said, because your house is so full of God's word. I hear it from all of my colleagues, every one of them. And it's nothing that I've done. It's all what God has done. Amen. He's filled us with his word.
Amen.
Everybody Amen. That knows True Gospel Ministries knows that this ministry is established on Rhema, period. Everybody knows it. Every person knows it, from here through Jamaica, wherever we've been, they all know that we are full of Rhema in this house. And the reason we're full is because God keeps us under open vision. But TGM, I say to you too, there's another level that we've got to come to. There's more grace that God wants to reveal unto us. There's a whole lot more of God's glory that he wants to really outpour unto us. And that's going to take a total disconnect. If you're willing to move in that dimension, that's what's coming up in our future, is another dimension of God's glory and grace. It's on the horizon, praise God. And that's why the enemy is fighting tooth and nail to keep us from coming into this level of worship. In case you didn't know it, our house is full. We sow into the revelation who is Christ. So we reap the revelation who is Christ. Now, watch this. Now, we go back into the story in 1 Samuel 4. Ichabod is at the door. When we touch what God should be honored with, and I want you to, as I'm speaking this, I want you to imbibe this, because I opened my heart up to this. I did. I really did. And I could absolutely see spots in my life where Ichabod had came in. The word Ichabod means the glory departed. I could see places in me. I'm talking about me. I am my own case study, where Ichabod was at my door, where the glory of the Lord on some levels, I could feel levels that I dropped from because of not giving in this area and honoring God with this. When we first learned about the vineyards and the fields, the glory of the Lord was at a high in my life. And I didn't even understand it like I do now. But there was a certain glory that was there. And my goodness, did all grace abound toward me in ways that I still have not toppled and come to in this day. Because Ichabod stays at the door of those that don't honor with their substance. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 17 through 22. It says, "And the messenger answered and said, 'Israel is fled before the Philistines.'" Now, remember, Phinehas and Hophni caused all of Israel because of what they're doing. Remember, it was all of Israel that was now being looked at because of these two men. And I hate to say it this way, but God was not flowing with the entire nation because of these two. It says, "Now, Israel is fled before the Philistines. And there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken." Watch this. Oh my goodness. Watch this travesty just build. "And the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died, talking about Eli. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel for 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Now, we see plainly, it starts with Eli's sons touching what did not belong to them. They're taking from the offering of God. Then their sin stretches into adultery and fornication. Now God is fed up at this point. The ark now, the Philistines take the ark into possession. Now the glory of the Lord is departed. But it all started at the place of touching the substance, not honoring God the way that he should have been honored. Truly, ask yourself, have you seen God's glory, the maximum level of God's glory on your life? Have you had times where you prayed and there was no open vision? Have you gone through these stretches? Ask yourself this. Are you still up and down? Is it still a place of inconsistency on your life? Is there still a place of inconsistency? Have you ever felt Ichabod around you? Well, I'm telling you, it's directly associated with the fact that we don't honor God like we should, because it keeps us connected to the root that we ought to be disconnected from.
Yes.
But when we honor him, the spirit of Ichabod is lifted up off of us. And God now, God begins to move in ways that, my goodness, that we were waiting for. You fasted, you prayed, you fasted, you prayed, you fasted, you prayed. I'm telling you, add this worship unto that. Say unto God, "I honor you with my substance. All that I have, Lord God, is yours. I release unto you the lump. What is it that you require of me?" And when you get into a position that you're really disconnected from money being your source, you'll see Ichabod move from off of areas of your life. You will see Ichabod be lifted. But God has to be your number one source. The kabod belongs to him. The glory belongs to him. Nothing in your possession can take any of what belongs to him. It should not have control. And I said this before, but I feel led to say it again. It should not have any control over our emotions. Money controls our happiness, there's a problem. When money controls our peace, there's a problem. There's a problem. That's why the axe is laid at the root. That's why God is looking to us to worship him with tithing and first fruit and free will offerings. He's looking for us to really build that threefolded cord of absolute trust unto him, to where we can freely come before him. We're in a place where he's chosen to put his name in, and we can honor him. We can honor him as our source. And I say it all the time, he's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something to you. When we don't honor God with our substance and we use and take what we want, we are no different from Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. I believe Ichabod is directly associated when this offering is taken from the Lord. Don't get it twisted. The glory is not on the church the way that it should be, people of God. And I openly say that, and I will not take that back. The glory of the Lord is not resting on the church the way that it should be. I've seen the church. I've seen it in a place of decline, not a place of growth. I've seen it in a place of absolute stagnancy where the world has no respect for who we are, and Satan certainly doesn't fear us. I hear the call coming from God's mouthpiece. I hear the call coming from God's mouthpiece. Malachi said it like this, and I said it before, and I say it again. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me. You know what the word ordinance means? It means portions or prescribed portions. God's prescribed portions here. These ordinances, it doesn't just break down to meaning the law. It's talking about God's prescription, and you have not kept them. He says he returned, and this is the call I hear. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Verse 8 says it all. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. You say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You got to remember that in Malachi as well, if you read chapter 3, verses 1 through right there, 1 through 5, it explains. It talks about the coming of John the Baptist. It speaks of John coming. And John came prior to Jesus. Jesus followed right after John. And you have to understand, between Malachi and Matthew, there was absolutely 400 years of silence. No open vision. 400 years of silence until John would come up, until John got here. 400 years of absolute no open vision. Why? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. So obviously they didn't return in Malachi's day. 400 years of absolute silence.
Jesus.
Because men were robbing God. Robbing him of what? Money? No, of worship. Of honor, of absolute honor. And so therefore there was no open vision. But take note of this. Malachi 3, everyone calls it the scripture that we've used to try to make people give and to try to make people do with finances what the church wanted them to do. But understand what Malachi's purpose was and God's purpose that was coming out of this right here. It was to announce the coming of John. And John coming, he would put us in position where we could offer unto God an offering in righteousness, to where this could be restored. John was coming. John was coming prior to Jesus to get us in position. So don't look at Malachi as what we've used and what the church has used to cause people or to scare people with a curse. No. Malachi was speaking of John's coming that would put us in perfect position to honor God like this again. So we aren't returning in terms of the law, people of God. But there is a clarion call to return in our worship with our giving. The call to come out of the world and be separated is now. Let him that has an ear hear. The Spirit and the bride are saying, come. If our love, regard for money is the root of all evil, then doesn't it make sense to be renewed in the spirit of our minds? Honoring God with our substance is the balance we need to be fully disconnected from the source of all sin. Grace is God's divine influence. That's what grace is. It is God's divine influence on our hearts. The rhema word is nothing short of grace. If you shut out the rhema and disregard it, what grace is left for you or for me? Because he's giving us grace right now. The grace to turn, the grace to hear. I can feel it in my spirit and in my soul so strongly. It's so strong in my soul. I can feel the axe at the root. I can feel myself being disconnected. Disconnected, even, oh God Almighty, even in a fall, I still know that there's a disconnect coming. I woke up this morning, I said, Lord, I can feel it. I feel you moving. I feel you right at the threshold.
Yes, God.
I can sense the shift going on in my own life, Lord. I can feel it. It's powerful. It's true.
Hallelujah. It's happening. Jesus.
It's happening.
Hallelujah, God.
There's a mighty shift, people of God. And I don't want you to miss it. Listen, my objective here is for us to come into that dimension that they will prophesy as it was prophesied. They will say, where did they come from? Because we're not going to look like everybody else. But we will be a front runner. God gave me a dream years ago where I ran with John in my dream. I ran with John the Baptist. And the Lord reminded me of the dream yet again. And as he reminded me of the dream, he said, this is why I put the message of finance like this in your mouth. He said, that was John's objective too, causing them to repent because they were stealing from wages. They were lying about this concerning money. All that they were doing was attached to money. And John preached. He said, what shall we do? And John told them where they were going wrong with money. And God reminded me as I ran with John. John and I were running. He was a little bit ahead of me. And I said, where are we going? He said, to the Mount of Olives. The Master is coming. And the Lord reminded me the other day of the dream. He said, that's why the message of repentance, I have the axe laid at the root yet again through your mouth. He said, John's message was the axe was at the root of all evil, money. He said, and that is the message of repentance. That is the hardest area to change one's thinking is inside the money. God told me, he said, Todd, I called you. I called you just as I called him to prepare the way before my coming. And I said, Lord, I am not John the Baptist. I said, I'm not anywhere near his level of sanctification. And the Lord reminded me, he said, yes, you are. He said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. The least in the kingdom is greater than John. He said, the blood of my son is on your life.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I've imputed righteousness unto you because I didn't feel worthy to carry the message. But God let me know I'm worthy because of Jesus. And that I too can lay the axe at the root. I too can bring what he's causing me and calling me to bring to his people so we can be completely severed from this world. And I'm looking forward to the work, the inward work happening in me. I too am graced with this. I'm in position for it. If Ichabod is at the door, and I'm closing. God wants you to know that all grace is at the door too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he in his heart, every man according as he in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God so loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. How is righteousness tied into giving? Because it severs you from the root. So therefore, his righteousness remains forever. Because the axe is at the root. And all,
hallelujah, Jesus.
I thought about you here, Evangelist Benita. All grace, hallelujah. You get ready. Oh, God, keep me together. All grace is coming toward you. That means any, every, the whole, all manner of means. And then it even tells you how often. Here you go, Evangelist. I'm telling you, I saw you here. It's coming daily. It's coming daily.
Yes.
Daily. All manner of means coming daily. All grace. And this is for everyone that is turning Jesus. Unto God and causing their substance to become his substance. All manner. Remember, he said, man, it says, I magnify the Lord in his own strength. Let that substance be his. And so will we sing and praise his power. All grace is coming. You've been feeling the shift, evangelist. You've been feeling that God is about to break us through. That's because all grace is on our side. Praise God. All
Amen,
grace.
Amen, God.
Ichabod can stand there at the threshold, and all grace is standing there at the threshold. You choose which one comes into you. You choose. When God is honored with the lump or our substance, it's administered correctly, all grace is at your doorstep. Increase of all kinds. Nothing is withheld from us. We step into God's grace, his divine influence, and we see its reflection on our lives. It's directly tied to it. Directly tied to it. Ooh, boy. I had never really seen where it talks about being able to tap into all grace. I kind of find it strange that it's tied to the very thing that our soul is tied to most often. That's what's stopping grace, is the soul tied with money. But all grace is there and ready, ready to cross your threshold. But can you honor God? Will you honor God? Will you? I really think this is the last message I have on this. I really believe it is. Because this concludes our understanding and our teaching on triune giving. But God is leaving you with man with a great, great, great message. All grace is waiting for you.
Amen, Lord.
All grace. When I thought about all grace, I thought about everything that's of God is attached to this here. God's healing. God's healing power is in all grace. God's delivering power is in all grace. I'm so beyond money. I see money as a minuscule thing when I hear about all grace. I see about the power, I see the power and the anointing of our God being on our side. When? Daily. You know what daily means in the Greek? Sun up to sun up. All day. All grace. Now we've got choices to make. We've got choices to make. It's in our hands now. It really is in our hands, and we've got choices here. We've really got choices, and we can make the choice to honor God. We can make the choice here to say, you know what? I'm not going to allow substance to rule over my life. I'm not going to allow it. If God was able to give in the Jesus in the form of a tithe, first fruit, and a form of substance of free will, if God was able to do it with his most prized possession, then we should too. We should too. If it gives you an opportunity to disconnect from the way we were born or conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, if it gives us the opportunity to finally cut that thing at the root, I say go for it. Go for it. In this time right now, you should be feeling strength. You should be feeling the power of God ready to move on your behalf. You should have hope beyond measure. In anything that you're lacking, hope should be alive right now because you're coming into God's stream of grace. Yeah, I truly believe triune giving is a message of God's grace. I truly do. Anything Amen. That's going to disconnect me from the root of all evil, I know that's grace.
Yes, it is.
I know that's grace. And I can freely lift my hands in worship, not because I have to, but my goodness, because of what Rhema is revealing, it makes me want to. It makes me absolutely want to worship God. Seeing what God is going to be doing in the midst of it, disconnecting me from anything that's going to try to hold me here. No, sir. I'm in.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus has given us this privilege. The blood of Jesus has given us this right. That's what we were waiting for. So we could offer an offering in righteousness. Because of the blood. We're in position for this worship like no other time in history. We are in perfect position to worship God like this. Hallelujah. That's all I have for you today. That's all I got. There's a few chats in here. There's a few comments made here. Here we go. We hear true gospel. Elder Allison says amen. Elder Donna says amen and amen. Daryl, Evangelist Daryl says, wow, Ichabod, the glory of the Lord departed. I know what that is like too. I'm trying to tell you, D, and it is the worst feeling to experience. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And if you look at it, it's usually entangled with areas where you stop giving and honoring freely unto God. If you really look at it, I studied mine out. I saw where Ichabod crept in. And Elder Donna says, powerful, powerful, powerful. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Father, your word is on point. Father, your word is absolutely true. Father, I bless you for it. I bless you because I feel your grace all over this. I feel the dispensation that we're living in unfolding on a whole nother level to us. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful that I can walk in your footsteps. I'm so grateful. It's how you disconnected us from the beginning anyway, by sowing Jesus the way that you did. That was our disconnect, and we can stay in the flow of it. We can do and mimic what you've done. We can do it all over again. This is what you're doing. You're superimposing on us. And Lord, you're disconnecting us from the root that would try to tie us down. I'm grateful. Let your power be seen. Let your power be heard. Let it be felt. Position us as a part of your body so that the rest of your body can be repositioned as well. I'm asking you, Father, please put us on the front. Help us to blaze this trail, Lord God, in absolute worship, in absolute honor unto who you are for us. You're our Lord of Lords. You are our King of Kings, Jesus. You deserve the glory. You really do. You really and truthfully do. You deserve all of the honor. You certainly do. And Lord God, help us to do it freely unto you. Not in a position where, Lord God, it's under the obligation. But we flow, Lord God, not in obligation, but the revelation of what you're saying. Help us to maintain that position. We yes. know that the truth is being attacked. We understand, Lord God, that the study is under fire right now. But Lord, you can do what's necessary to bring us into a place where we elevate together. We've stood by your word. We've stood by your word. And help us all to move into the total benefit of it, Master.
Yes,
I give you glory in advance, Jesus. I thank you for the freedom. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for opening our hearts and our minds. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for finishing off the root. I thank you for finishing off the root. You did it for them in Acts, and I'm expecting nothing short of that. But to get what they got, we've got to do what they did. You've told me that all these years. This is what they did, Lord. And I'm totally down with it. Totally down with it. Oh, Lord, continue to swing at this root. Continue, Lord God, continue. And I give you praise for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.